The subject that's on my heart tonight is the fact that God has limited man in many different ways. There are things that the Word of God says that man cannot do. There are some things that are impossible with men. And I'm not talking about without God's help. We all know that without Christ, that we can do nothing. Nothing that's right or good. We just don't have that ability to do anything that's right or good without God's help. But there are some things that the Bible says that man cannot do. There are two things the Bible says that that God cannot do. Do you remember what, or at least one thing, do you remember what God cannot? Okay, God cannot lie. God cannot lie. And then there are some things that God says that man cannot do. I want us to begin tonight by looking in the book of Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. We'll be looking at several different things, probably five different things that the Bible says that man cannot do. Matthew chapter 6, I would like to begin reading with verse 19 and read through verse 24. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 19, before we begin to read and study from the Word of God, I would ask you to please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Lord, for the privilege that we have to come before Thy throne of grace. Lord, we know that we need Your grace and Your mercy every day. We know that we can't even come to Thee in prayer without Thy blessings upon us. We're thankful that because of Your mercy and Your grace that one day we'll be in the eternal heaven. We're thankful that also because of Your mercy and Your grace that we're able to have fellowship with You while we live here in this world. We're thankful that we have the privilege to come together to try to lift up our voices, make a joyful noise, to sing with our brothers and sisters in Christ, to sing songs of praise, to try to worship You. And we thank You again for every person that's here tonight. Thank You for all those that make sacrifices to be in the house of the Lord. And we pray that You would bless those that are not able to be here, those that are providentially hindered, all those who are sick and afflicted. We pray that You would help them and bless them in a very special way. Those that are unconcerned or indifferent about being in the house of the Lord, we pray that You would do whatever is necessary to stir up in their hearts and minds a desire to be in the house of the Lord, and that You would work in their lives, and You would help us to encourage them to be in the house of the Lord. Pray that You would bless us all during this coming week. Pray that You would bless those that are sick and afflicted, that You would touch their bodies, strengthen them, and lift them up. We pray especially that You would bless Sister Nina, that You would strengthen her and help her. Bless Brother Tyler and Sister Valerie and all the others that are having chemo treatments. Pray that You would bless Brother Bill Tucker this Friday as he has his surgery. We pray that You, as the great physician, that You would touch him and bless him, that the work that the doctors do, that it would be for his good, and then bless him with a speedy recovery. Bless him and Sister Ann to feel the peace of God and the presence of God every day. Bless Sister Michelle Street in the loss of her mother. We pray that You would bless her and Brother Vern and all the members of the family, that You would strengthen them and bless them, Lord, to rejoice every day in the manifestation of Your presence in their lives, that Your Holy Spirit, the great Comforter, would be with them every day. Bless all the others who stand in special need of Thy help. You know the needs of all of Your people, wherever they are, and pray that You bless every person in this congregation and every family that's assembled together. Bless those that are away from us, that are traveling. We pray that You would watch over and protect them and give them a safe trip, safe return home. Bless their families while they're away. Bless us now as we try to study Thy holy word. Impress on our minds the greatness of God and the smallness of man as we think about and study some of the things that Your word says that a man cannot do. Bless us now, we pray, in the blessed and holy name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 19, there's a great warning here about us not being covetous. The Word of God says, Matthew 6, beginning in verse 19, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor dust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Now listen carefully to verse 24. He's been talking about covetousness and greed. And then he says in verse 24, no man, here's the first thing, and every one of the verses that we're going to be looking at tonight that show the limitation of man, every one of them will say that no man can do, and then we'll just be looking at several things that primarily Jesus speaks. In all but one of the verses, Jesus says, no man can do this. And the first thing that we're looking at is that Jesus says, no man can serve two masters. It is impossible. Probably everybody here has tried serving two masters. We probably have tried to do exactly what Jesus tells us here that we cannot do. Jesus says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Now, the word mammon means riches and wealth and things like that. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot put God in one place and then money and wealth and riches in another place, and on Sunday we're going to worship God and serve God, but then the rest of our lives we're going to spend seeking after the things of the world. You cannot, Jesus says, it is impossible. No man can serve two masters. This is one of the biggest problems I have in my life is serving God sometime and serving mammon the other part of the time. Sometimes we say serving man, and it's true that you can't serve God and man at the same time, but the word mammon is primarily talking about riches and things like that. But whatever other master you want to think about, whatever other God you want to think about, you cannot serve two gods. You will eventually either serve God and be faithful to God, and these other things will have to be down the list and not things that are really your serving. But if you'll serve the other things, then you will eventually despise God. I've seen it happen. I've watched the people of God that as they begin to serve mammon, and that begins to be the main focus of their lives, they eventually despise God, the house of God, the people of God, and the church of God. You cannot serve God and mammon. And what are the two words that we're looking at tonight? The first two words in verse 24? No man. No man. Doesn't matter who you think about. Doesn't matter how hard you try. It doesn't matter if the devil deceives you and you think that you're an exception to the rule. Jesus says that no man can serve two masters. So I would first of all ask you to pray tonight that God will help us to believe what Jesus says, to believe that we cannot serve God and mammon, and that you would pray that God will help us, that we would really serve God and put God first in our lives. That Jehovah would be our God every day. That He would truly be the one that we are serving in every aspect of our lives. Did you know that even on your job, even while you're doing your job, you can be serving God. And everything else that you do in your life, you can be serving God in every aspect of your life. Even if you're having recreation, you can be serving God and putting Him first no matter what you do in your life. So no man can serve two masters. James expresses it a little different when he says that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Now, a double-minded man is somebody that is trying to serve two different masters. And Jesus says, no man can serve two masters. Go with me now to the book of John. We'll spend most of the rest of the evening in our worship service and looking at God's Word. We'll spend the rest of the time in the book of John because John records more occasions where Jesus says that no man can do something than any other writer. And every time that we look at the two words, no man, in the book of John, every time Jesus is going to be speaking and Jesus is going to be telling us that there's something else besides the fact that we cannot serve two masters, there are other things that God says, Jesus specifically says, that no man can do. Look at John chapter 6, verse 44. Brethren, these teachings, they sound simple, but they're important that we remember them and understand them. Look in your Bibles at John chapter 6 and verse 44. John chapter 6, verse 44, Jesus tells us again something else that it is impossible for men to do. No man can do it. Not one man can do it. John chapter 6, verse 44, Jesus says, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Let me ask you this question. Can you get to Jesus without the Father drawing you to Jesus? That's what Jesus is saying here. This idea that Jesus is up here and he's begging and pleading and he wants you to come to him, and if you'll just come to him, then you can get saved. This is one of the many verses that contradict that, because Jesus says that no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. Jesus is not up there begging and pleading for you to come to him. You cannot, Jesus says. No man, not a single person, has ever gone to Christ except the Father drew that man to Christ. So Jesus lays a very important principle that we need to remember here, that no man can come to him except the Father which has sent me draw him. And brethren, I hope that you go to Christ. I hope that you do, because it's something that God's children have the ability to do. And I'm not talking about going to him so you can go to heaven when you die. Brethren, Jesus, we all need to understand that no one has ever known that Jesus is the Christ except the Father reveal that truth to him. You've never desired to go close to Christ and be a disciple of Christ except the Father had worked in your heart and in your life. So no man, what does Jesus say in this second statement? The first one was, no man can serve two masters. And now Jesus says, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. Go with me now to John chapter 10. There are two times in the book of the 10th chapter of the book of John, there are two different times that Jesus says that there's something that no man is able to do. John chapter 10 and verse 18, Jesus tells us a third thing that no man, not anybody, is able to do. In John chapter 10, Jesus is talking about the fact that he's about to go to the cross of Calvary, but he's explaining to his apostles that nobody is going to take his life from him. Did you know that? Did you know that the Roman soldiers, and did you know that the Jews, and everybody else combined, did you know that they could not take the life of Jesus Christ? Not any single man, and not all of the men combined, they could not take his life. Look at John chapter 10 and verse 18. Jesus, as he's talking about that, he says in John 10 verse 18, no man taketh it from me. No man is able to take my life from me, but I lay it down of myself. Do you know the only reason that Jesus died is because Jesus laid his life down. They did not take his life. Jesus says, no man can take it from me. Nobody can take my life from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Isn't it a marvelous thing that Jesus is the only one that had the power to lay his life down? We sometimes sing songs that talk about how Jesus gave his life. Jesus laid down his life, but always remember that one of the things that Jesus says that no man can do while he was here on the earth, he said, no man can take it from me. Now come down to not only can no man take Jesus' life from him, but if you come down to John chapter 10 and verse 29, we find that no man can take, and the devil and all of his angels, nobody can take any one of God's children who are called sheep in this chapter. Nobody can take them out of the Father's hand. John 10 verse 29, Jesus says, "My Father which gave them," he's talking about the sheep, if you back up three or four verses, he says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Starting in verse 27. Verse 27, he says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man," you hear those two words again now, he says, "no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." No man is able to pluck. Not one single child of God will ever be separated from the love of God. I am thankful that we are preserved. Jude says that we are preserved in Christ Jesus. We're kept by the power of God. We're in the hand of Jesus, and we're in the hand of the Father. And he says in one verse, he says, no man can take us out of Jesus' hand. And then he says, no man can take us out of the Father's hand. The power of God is what keeps you from being destroyed by the devil and his angels. Nobody, no man can take you. And I would add to that, because the rest of the scriptures teach this, that the devil and all of his angels can't take you out of the Father's hand. You're safe and you're secure because of the power of God. No man can take you out of the Father's hand. Now go to John chapter 14. There's another expression here. The expression that we looked at earlier in John chapter 6. Do you remember who Jesus said that no man can come to in John chapter 6? Who is Jesus talking about us going to in John chapter 6? Going to Jesus. Now look at John chapter 14, and Jesus makes this statement in John chapter 14 and verse 6. John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Now what did he say in John chapter 6? He says, in John 6, 44, he says, "No man can come unto me except the Father which hath sent me draw him." Now he says that no man can come to the Father but by me. You see, you can't get to the Father except through Jesus Christ. You can't get to Jesus except through the Father. "No man cometh unto me," Jesus said, "except my Father which hath sent me draw him, and no man can go to the Father but by Jesus Christ." The only time you have ever been, every time that you have ever been to the Father in prayer, and that's who you pray to, is our Father. Jesus said, "Pray, our Father." Every time that you pray, you're praying to the Father. But every time that you pray to the Father, the only time that you reach the Father is through Jesus Christ. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from the Father. But all of those gifts come through Jesus Christ to you. And every time you ever go to the Father, it'll be through Jesus Christ. In prayer, in communion and fellowship with the Father, every time you go through the Father, to the Father, it's always going to be through Jesus Christ. Jesus says, "No man," in John 14 and verse 6, he says, "No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Now look at one other time in John. Look at John chapter 16 and verse 22. John chapter 16 and verse 22. The Word of God here tells us another occasion where Jesus says that no man, this is something that shows the limitations that God has placed upon man. And I want to mention that, because it's not just that man is weak, it's the fact that God has set the limitations of man. God has set the boundaries. God has said there are things you cannot do, and God's the one that made man that way. John chapter 16 and verse 22, as Jesus again is talking about leaving this earth, and they're going to be sorrowful. They're going to be weeping. They're going to be feeling, as Peter says, that all hope is lost. They're going to feel like There's no reason to continue to live because Jesus has died. And Jesus is explaining that he was going to die and that they were going to be sorrowful, but he says something else in John chapter 16 and verse 22. He says, "And ye now therefore have sorrow." You do have sorrow right now because you know that I'm about to die. But I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. Now, this is one of the most beautiful, I guess every one of these statements, it depends on what you're thinking about at the time, but every one of these statements is beautiful and important. But this last statement is that when the people of God have been going through sorrow, and then God begins to come to them and to comfort them, he says, no man can take your joy from you. Now that's a great blessing. It's wonderful to know that no matter what happens in this world, did you know there are people that have been put in prison and they were full of joy? There are Christians who have died in prison. There are Christians that have been beheaded. There are Christians that have been burned at the stake. And while they were dying, many were full of joy while they died. They could smile. They could rejoice. They could praise God. How could they do that? Because Jesus gave them joy that he says here, no man can take this joy from you. Now, brethren, I'm beginning to appreciate this verse more than anything else that we've talked about so far. Because I know that no matter what happens in this world, in America, that if you stay close to God, that you will have joy no matter what else happens. Can you be put in prison for being a Christian? Well, you might think you can't, but it's coming. You will be put in prison if you're going to be a real Christian. There's a time coming in America you're going to be put in prison. And did you know that you can be full of joy no matter where you are? In prison, out of prison. Can you be full of joy even though you're separated from everybody that you love? Can you be full of joy? Even though you aren't around anyone that you love, could you still be full of joy? And is it impossible for men to take that joy from you that God gives to you? When God gives you joy, what does Jesus say in John 16:22? No man, he says, your joy no man taketh from you. I pray that God will help all of us tonight to think about some of the limitations that God has put on man. There are some things that man cannot do. One of the most important things for us to remember is the first thing that we looked at where Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. And I need to work on that. I need to work on serving only God, Him only. You remember whenever the devil tried to get Jesus to fall down and worship him. And Jesus said, it is written. It is written. And he talked about how only God is to be served, not God and mammon. But the most wonderful thing I want you to think about in closing is that your joy, when you have the joy of the Lord, that no man can take that joy from you. And I'm glad God has limited man. I'm glad he's limited me, and I'm glad he's limited you, but I'm glad that all men have limitations placed on them by God. May God help us to think about these truths and study more about these truths is my prayer for Christ's sake.